all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds.
Amen.
I'm the song leader.
Want to do the spirit song? Huh? Want to play the spirit song? You want to play the spirit song?
Well, we could do the spirit song.
Let's do the spirit song. I feel like I bungled through that.
What number is it?
I don't know. Just look. I've got it in a different book.
So 134, Esther didn't like how the last one ended, so we're just going to do 134. Okay.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you, and His Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Oh, come and sing the song of gladness as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to His name. All your tears and sadness, give Him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs.
Okay. Now, amen. Well,
Well, I'm really not supposed to be doing this, Marty. Well, don't believe everything that's written.
It was on the internet,
so it has to be true. Okay. Well, welcome to everyone. Glad that you are here. Be sure to sign the red book and pass it on down and greet everybody that's in your pew. And for our visitors, we are glad you're here. Hopefully, Barbara and the welcoming committee has seen you already. If you haven't been welcomed and received a little gift, please raise your hand now so that Barbara can find you and give you that little gift we have, because we're so glad that you are here.
We have two up here that have been here.
Hello. Hello, strangers. Welcome back. And next Sunday is the, instead of a potluck, the women are going to have a fundraiser. So you don't have to bring anything but except your checkbook. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Yeah.
This will be our final announcement for, we have a men's meeting next Saturday at 8 o'clock. And right after that, we're going to do our road pickup. So we've got a 2-mile stretch from 20 to 22. And we really need some able-bodied people. So fellows, join us in the fellowship for our meeting too.
What time?
At 8 o'clock, Saturday morning. Another thing, and this is probably maybe pretty early, but Pastor Francis and several of us have really been wanting to do the Living Last Supper again. So right now it's on, so we need some disciples, and we're going to try and get ready to come back and play Jesus. Anyway, thank you. This is a wonderful program, and you'll get something out of it, I guarantee you.
Okay. Did you have anything you wanted to say? Or?
No.
Okay. All right. If there's nothing else, let's center our minds and our thoughts to worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, as we listen to the prelude. Oh, and I knew there was something else. Blue notes in your pews for prayers, concerns, and those things that we have to rejoice for. So please fill those out, and we'll be turning those in during the first hymn.
Thank you.
Thank you, Esther. Well, please stand as you are able for our opening hymn, found on page 89. Read the bold face. Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you are called. We cannot do this alone. We dare not try this alone. So we gather as God's people. Lead a life worthy of your calling, a life filled with service and meekness. We come to build up Christ's body in humility and gentleness,
with patience and love.
We rejoice in our oneness in Christ. We would share the grace offered to us. We gathered as God's family at the table prepared for us, waiting to be fed by the bread of life. We continue with our next hymn, Majesty, Worship His Majesty, 176.
Kingdom authority.
say the prayer of confession in unison. Almighty God, who does freely pardon all who repent and turn to him, now fulfill in every contrite heart the promise of redeeming grace, forgiving all our sins and cleansing us from all evil conscience, through the perfect sacrifice of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sin deserves, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he has removed our transgressions from us.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's great to see all of you here today. I'm going to be saying the prayers, and if you can help me, because every time I deviate, so if you can help me after I say the prayer, Lord, hear our prayer, and if it's a praise, praise the Lord, okay? Prayer for Langling? Jim? As he battles cancer. I'm sure I didn't do justice to that name. Lord, hear our prayer. For Bill, he's having hip surgery or had hip surgery. Lord, hear our prayer. Continue prayers for Dave Townsend. He had a bad fall and is in rehabilitation in Las Cruces. Lord, hear our prayer. For Mrs. Sheila Fry and Mary Dick Richards, health concerns. Lord, hear our prayers. For granddaughter and heading to college this week, I think her name is Trier? Trier. The good thing here, you can rest assured that regardless what I do to the names, God knows who I'm talking about. Okay? I just rest assured of that. For Wyatt and Dalton return to college on Saturday, prayers for all the students returning to college this year. Amen. And for Heather Brown, concerns. Lord, hear our prayers. So now if you all look in your program, you're going to see that there's a blessing of the backpacks. The offering. How can I forget something like that? Don't tell my SBRC or the admin committee. Don't let it leave from here, please. Okay. Right here.
We'll just use these bags.
Yes. We got it. We need four things. Okay. Here's mine.
Get back to you for
throughout the world and our community. All this we pray in your holy name.
Amen. Have a seat. We're going to have the blessing of the backpacks, but I wanted to know how many teachers do we have present here today? People that are serving in the school in any capacity. Will those that serve as teachers and serve in any capacity with the school system please come forward? Shawnee? This beautiful blonde lady coming down the middle is our own school director. And what about the children that have already started school, I believe? Anybody going to college? Anybody going to adult education? Anybody teaching children's Sunday school? Anybody teaching Schindler's Hour? Awesome. What you're looking at is the future of our country, of our community, and the world. And the adults that are between them are the ones that prepare them for it. So what I would like to do today is for all of us to extend our hand forward so that in unison we can do the blessing for them. Okay? Lord, bless these backpacks and the children and youth who carry them as they begin another year of school. Give them peace when they feel nervous, focus when they feel distracted, energy when they feel tired. Open to them the lessons they will learn, both in and outside of classroom. Help them to make friends, build one another, and friends to those who need them. Guide them in making good choices as they grow in wisdom and maturity. Be ever present with them in the classroom, on the school bus, on the playground, at home. May they feel your loving care in all they do. Lord, we ask that you bless those in the ministry of teaching, future generations, as they embark on a new school year. Grant them energy, passion, discipline, and endurance for their daily task. Infuse their classroom with an atmosphere of care and mutual respect, that in all interactions, they will be bathed in patience and understanding. Help their lessons grow pupil, both knowledge, character. Help us all to support the work of these teachers who build up our community and our future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. I have something here for the teachers. Shani, you're awesome. God bless you all. You may be seated. And now, the prayer of illumination. O fire divine, go through my heart. O light eternal, illuminate my soul. May we discover you in our loving thoughts, the Spirit of Christ who abides in us. Amen. The sermon today is from Psalms 34, 1 and 8. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible. It says, I will always bless the Lord. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul makes boast in the Lord. The humble and downtrodden will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us lift up his name together. I thought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces will never blush in shame or confusion. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he rescues each one of them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. David wrote this psalm after escaping with his life from the hands of Abimelech. He was so grateful to God that he wrote this praise to the Lord for his deliverance. A mere thank you was not going to be enough for David to say how much he appreciated what the Lord had done, what it had meant to him. So how do we say thank you when God shows his favor, or when he delivers us from a situation? For me, saying thank you is not always enough, in English or in Spanish. Thank you does not begin to cover how grateful I am. In this psalm, we see David placing emphasis in three words: fear, trouble, and praise. I think that at some level, we can all identify at least with two of them, fear, and trouble. In the Old Testament, the concept of deliverance refers to the act of God whereby he rescues his people from danger, meaning to draw out, to snatch away, and to save. This usage of deliverance focuses on God's removal of those who are in the midst of trouble or danger. In the Old Testament, God's deliverance is almost always from temporal danger. He rescues his people from their enemy and gives them a way out when they have walked themselves into trouble. The most striking deliverance is the one we find in Exodus. It contains the defining act of God as the deliverer of Israel. The promise that God delivers his people from sin and its consequences, you'll find, although mentioned very infrequently, in the complete picture that Jesus gives us as his deliverer for us and for humankind. All acts of deliverance are totally his initiative and express his mercy and his love. Therefore, there is no one to rescue the ungodly. God's deliverance is for his people, those who trust and fear him. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are arrogant. You'll find this on Psalms 18:25. But if they indulge in sin and rebellion, God might deliver them, but to their enemies. It is not I who is saying this. It is said in the Bible on 1 Kings 8:46, Jeremiah 25, and Ezekiel 11:8-9. I think God means it. Okay, I don't think he's fooling around. God is always the subject, and his people are always the object of his deliverance. God still delivers his people from deadly danger and from wicked men today, even if we can't clearly see it. And sometimes we don't even notice it. But he's still in the business of delivering his children today. The ultimate deliverance for humankind is from the coming wrath of God on the final days of judgment. Here again, the people of God have hope in the deliverer, who will intervene and save them from the terrible fate reserved for the ungodly. Trouble. We all experience trouble. And the fact that we are Christian does not give us any immunity to trouble. The fact is that as Christians, we are ensured a measure of trouble. Simply, if nothing else besides everything that life throws at us, other people setting up standards of what our life should be. That's a problem. But sometimes trouble comes upon us because of our own foolishness and sin. Sometimes we even look for it. One thing I know for sure, if God thinks it is not proper to remove suffering from his people, with all my heart, I know for sure that he will remove his people from the suffering. Now we come to praise. If you say thank you is not enough, how then would we say thank you? And what I propose and what David said was to praise the Lord. Christians often speak of praising God, but we do it kind of like in a cavalier attitude sometimes, not putting too much thought into our praise, into really what we say. Do you know that praising God is the best thing to do before anything else? Before you start praying, especially before you start praying, if you want God to know that you think he is awesome, loving, merciful, and forgiving. Have you ever been in a situation where you feel all alone? Or have you encountered a difficult situation in your life and you do not know what to do, like losing your job, your house, your family, or suffering the loss of someone that is very close to your heart. What can you do during these moments? Praising God makes every circumstance of our lives complete, essential, and exceptionally meaningful. This is one of the hardest times when your heart is breaking because of where you are due to circumstances, to still turn around and say, Lord, I praise you because you're in control, because you love us, because you know where I'm going. Maybe not at the moment that your heart is filled with pain, you cannot find any of these words. And believe me, it is completely understandable. We're not perfect, so we're not going to act perfectly at every point in our lives. And God wants to hear the truth from your heart, so he doesn't care about lip service. So if you cannot say it at the moment because you're so involved in the circumstances that you find yourself in, you will later, and that's okay too. When you're filled with pain, all you want to do is stop the pain, is get out of it. God knows that. And God knows that at that moment, you're trying to reach to him in any way possible, any way that you can. And any way that you take hold of him at that moment, that is the perfect moment for you between the relationship that you have and he has with you. There is not a wrong or a right way. Webster defines the word praise as to say good things about someone or something. And it is synonymous to words such as admire, commend, exalt, honor, and worship. A definition of Christian praise is the joyful expression of gratitude and adoring of God. It is the celebration of his goodness and grace. This simply implies the act of praising is rightfully due to God and to God alone. The book of Psalms is a collection of songs filled with praise to God. If you lack the words sometimes, like a lot of us do, open the Psalms and sing the Psalms. It doesn't matter how you sound. It doesn't matter what music you put to it. It doesn't matter if you recite it as a poem. All that matters is that you're praising God. By praising God, we're reminded of the greatness of God, his power, and his presence in our lives. It reinforces our understanding of who we serve and whose we are. Praising God also transforms the spiritual environment of where we are at that given moment. I've been in some shaking circumstances, and I've been in them when I did not know that God was with me. And I've been in them after I became a Christian. And I can tell you that there is a difference. And I hear it in people when they're going through circumstances that will bring anybody to their knees, say, you know, my heart is broken, but I have this peace about me. That is what you're looking for. That is what you get when you praise God. Not praise him for the problem you're in, not praise him for the circumstances, but praise him for who he is and what he will continue to be along with you. Exodus 40:34 says, then the cloud covered the tent of meetings, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, he is good, his love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. I could, because I'm a visual person learner. So I could, in my mind, imagine what that is. But then I see it here also on Sunday. I see it here when the choir gets together, when Judy gets together, when they're practicing, and then at the time of the service. I know that there's not a physical cloud that falls over us, but I do believe that the Holy Spirit comes to greet us and to worship with us and to be with us at the time of worship. I believe, and I like to see the glory of the Lord, whether I see the cloud or not. It says here that the glory of the Lord was so strong that they couldn't do anything. The priest could not do anything. Have you ever been praying and all of a sudden you just feel this kind of like a warmth or just something around you, you know, that says, I want to stay here. That is the glory of the Lord with you when you're praying and when you're worshiping and when you're praising. The glory of the Lord, the cloud that is described here, is not something of the past. It's something that is obtainable today. It is part of your relationship between you and God. If we want to see a clear manifestation of God's blessings and grace, we all need to do this, and we all need to learn to praise the Lord. With Him, with all of our hearts, all of our mind, and all of our souls. How can we praise God in our world today? We're so busy, so much distraction, so much is competing for our space, for our mind, the things we read, the things we hear. So how can we praise the Lord today? Two things you cannot do. Well, three. You cannot take my choir director, Judy, with you, nor my choir, nor him. He was sitting here, right? Just a little bit ago. You're going to have to find your own choir and your own choir director, okay? But you'll be surprised if because I'm in love with Cloudcroft and I'm in love with the parsonage. So I go out and I look, I find new things to praise the Lord every day. Even though I don't eat pine, okay, I just praise the Lord for the pines. I praise the Lord for each house that has been able to be building there, for the families that live there and the ones that are coming on vacation. I praise the Lord for all of you. People, look around. You will not run out of things to praise the Lord. And by all means, don't forget yourself. Praise the Lord for where you are now. Praise the Lord for the future of your children, grandchildren, and future generations. If you try, you will find things to praise the Lord about. Praise originates in a heart full of love towards God. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Without God's love, any praise you can offer is hollow. Love born from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is an essential part of your praise. How can you bring praise to God? What can you do to make it an integral part of your life? Praise can be expressed in song, in verse, or in prayer, or simply by just reading the Psalms. And it is to be done continuously. I will exalt the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. It doesn't mean that this is what you need to do every moment of your life. But once you start praising the Lord for what you see and what's around you, you'll see that it'll come out of you without even thinking. It is something that really your spirit will bring to your mouth. Praises to God is expressed outwardly through our everyday actions as well as inwardly in our thoughts. Praise is an act of Christian worship. wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, whether you're speaking it or you're thinking it, at that moment when you're praising God, you're worshiping God also. So you might say, where do I begin? How do I start praising God if I'm not used to doing it? If praising God is new to you, try praising God for who He is to you, personally. Proclaim that God's goodness is without measure in your life, in the life of your families and those that are important to you. Praise that His provision is abundant and is overflowing in every way imaginable, by providing you with your home, by providing you with care, with medical care. All these things that we don't think about are things that we can actually praise God for. Praise God for His holiness, His mercy, His justice. Praise God for His grace. Praise God for His goodness. Praise God for His kindness. Praise God for His salvation. Praise God. The praises to God can happen anywhere. In time, it will become as normal to you as taking a breath. You will start seeing things a little bit different. You will start saying, isn't that amazing? Lord, I praise you for it. And there it goes. It's going to take a little bit of work. I understand that, but it's doable. Search out opportunities to bring praises to God. Praises to God, particularly by His children, is the free will expression of a grateful heart. Consider changing your thank you, Jesus, to a praise you, Jesus, for, and then add, fill in the blank. I know each one of you have so much to praise Jesus for. Praise you, my Lord and my Savior, for the gift of time. Sometimes we think that things happen too fast in our lifetime, and we don't get to do this and that, and we suffer with the people that are suffering. But still, thank God for the gift of time. For lifting me up when I could walk no longer, thank God. For giving me a new heart capable of love again, thank God. For giving me a new place where I could think and where I could learn and where I could grow spiritually, we praise the Lord. You can go on and on by just adding a whole bunch of things that each one of you have come across or will come across to also. It is good to praise the Lord. The last part of this particular verse says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good to me. And the Lord is good to you. In more ways that we actually claim and we actually say and we actually admit and we actually notice. There's nothing wrong with us. Remember, we're not perfect. And remember, Jesus knows that. So there's no need to pretend. But I do encourage you to find those things that you can praise God for. I do encourage you to taste and see if God is not good to you and to the people that you love, to the community that you live in, the ones that you care that are around you, to your country, to the things that are happening in the world, to the famines and just to the pain that the world is going through. Taste Him and see if He is not good to all of them and to all of you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are holy, yet you made a way for us to approach you. We praise you for being our helper and for your Holy Spirit conviction, correction, and protection in our life. You're invisible, but we see you with eyes of faith. You're God, the one who provides for all of our needs. We shall praise you as our Jehovah Rapha, our God who heals, and for being Jehovah Ra, my faithful shepherd. You're not just king, but you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. With a full heart, we praise your holy name, and with a full heart, we thank you, and we praise Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Now, during our next song, I would like to extend an invitation to you. If you have not given your life to Christ, maybe you will consider to do it now during the next song. You can come down and I will be happy to pray with you.
Please stand as you are able as we sing Fairest Lord Jesus 188.
Receive this blessing from the Lord. Go forth knowing that what God requires, going to the world, seeking opportunities to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Amen.
Turn it off.
Thank you.
God bless you. Have a wonderful week. You can sit right there in your balcony and just praise the Lord for everything you can see. Oh, God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Oh, great. Have a wonderful week and praise the Lord.
What happened to Mom?
There's a reception in the fellowship hall with cookies and punch for the blessing of the backpacks, so be sure to join us.